Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
So Eddie O'Sullivan is on the line. Gavin Kumsky of the Irish Times is here in studio. Pool 1 now looking very healthy from a Munster point of view. They are on 16 points, Glasgow on 14 points. Munster are at Glasgow, live and off the ball this Saturday, and then Racing to come at Thomond over the next fortnight. That's after a 32-7 win in Paris on Saturday. So Dave was calling the action, and afterwards he caught up with Razzy Erasmus and talked to him about the win and how hard it was to lead a team in the aftermath, obviously, of Anthony Foley's death, and about the young players who've come through at Munster.
Has it been one of the most difficult experiences of your life, trying to deal with the situation yourself, but also trying to lead, trying to make sure that you were kind of the shining light, the guy who was bringing these guys through the darkest hours, while at the same time dealing with your own personal situation with Anthony and your own emotions?
Yeah, it was challenging, but on the one hand, you know, it gave me so much clarity on things I've done wrong in the past, and I'm serious about it. It was just, you know, so many things that I tackled the wrong way, which from now on I'll try and not do it that way. So it was definitely challenging. I'll tell you, there was some days that we didn't have the answers, and I was not quite sure how we're going to tackle the next day. And then I was just hoping we're doing the right thing. So, you know, sometimes it's just luck that we might be set to do the right things. But hell, for me, it was a hell of a learning experience, you know, because things like this just shows you how to tackle situations which you think it's so tough. You just tackle it differently because there's so much bigger thing, and I've said it a lot, there's so much bigger things in life, and that's what I took out of this. And although it was challenging, it was also enriching for me in a way, you know.
So you're in a great position now. How much potential is still in this Munster squad, do you think? Are you guys delivering performance at your absolute optimum at the moment, or as you prepare to head to Glasgow and then hopefully take on even bigger fish in this competition, how much more to come do you believe that there is?
The A side won today. I believe they won. I think they won with a bonus point against a very tough older opposition, if we can call it that way. You know, a guy like Conor Oliver, who came with us over here, Ian Keatley came with us over here, Darren O'Shea came with us, you know, John Manigan withdrew from the A side. So there's so much potential, and I think we are optimizing potential. I'm not sure if that will give us title hopes at this stage, because one or two things might go wrong, and it might. But I'm definitely thinking we're optimizing talent, and yeah, if you look at our eighth grade boys coming through and representing the different squads there, I think Munster is in a healthy place. And now the trick, or the, I think this is success behind this, is to not be a one-hit wonder, to keep on growing, keep on getting better. You know, if we can't manage it this year, we'll get closer and closer. But I think we're maximizing the potential.
The ever-impressive Razzy Erasmus. Gav, it was obvious fairly early in this game that Munster were ahead of Racing in almost every department. You got a very good feeling within 5-6 minutes that this was going to be comfortable.
Yeah, it didn't show up at all. No. And like Dan Carter came on for a while and you're like, oh, and then they took him back off and the blood sore HIA, whatever it was, passed, yeah, and he got back onto the pitch.
And then brought him on after 55 minutes at 32-0 down, which I'm sure he adored.
I'd switched off, to be honest.
Oh, had you?
I got to the bonus point bit and I went, there's nothing more to gain from this. Mm. If injuries, you just go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
The O'Gara was very interesting afterwards. His quotes, he basically accused his team of being too old, which is, you know, they just bought old guys. I think Ali Williams popped up there somewhere. There's a bunch of geriatrics in rugby sense in their squad. And he goes, he went through the best Munster players aged 26 to 29. Yeah. And he goes, we got to look at our recruiting. We're not fit enough. And they got ran around the park. But also, they're not really a club, you know what I mean? They used to be a club, actually, back a couple of years ago when they were in Division 2, and they have a lot of good history. But now they're just Jackie Lorenzo's plaything. They're just a collection of players. And when it's not serious, when it's not really on the line, they can't show up. There's nothing to dig into, you know?
Yeah.
And that Munster completely exploited that.
Yeah, we'll play that O'Gara interview in a couple of minutes. The worst thing as well for him was pre-match, he was also speaking to Sky Sports' Graeme Simmons. And
I saw it.
He was extolling the positive for them is they can play for pride here. You know, points might not be on the line or qualification might not be on the line.
He was struggling with that one after, wasn't
he? We will see our pride here and fighting for the jersey and putting things right. And so in that context, the performance was dreadful. What about Munster? You know, Stuart Barnes, his assessment yesterday reading it was back to really simple, well-drilled processes and very efficient rugby.
They're playing really well. And there's nothing new there. And it was excellent what they did.
Yeah.
Like the manner in which they got to those scores, that speed. Conor Murray was just, again, he owns the pitch when he's on it now. You know, CJ Standard, that CJ Standard try should never have happened though. These are the top 14 champions.
He's never tackled.
Yeah, he busted through and all that. But What's really interesting, though, is this does switch into Glasgow now. And Glasgow are the reason why Racing were like that. They put them, they recovered from that thumping they got in Thomond Park and put back-to-backs on the top 14 champions who didn't want it to go this way. Mm. That was when they gave up. They threw in the towel after Glasgow beat them twice. Mm. And then Munster going to Glasgow is as hard. They're not going to. This is the hardest game they've had all season, mm. you know, because the emotional thing. It's now more about rugby than ever before, and Glasgow are going to be stacked up and ready to go. So there's a real, and it's home quarter final territory now as well. So this is the big one. This is where Munster, a lot of their systems that haven't been tested over Christmas, we'll say, and then haven't been tested, not as much as by Leinster, and haven't been tested by Racing.
Yeah,
Glasgow 100% will put them under the cosh in all the areas that are potential weaknesses.
Yeah, so talk to us about those potential weaknesses, Eddie, and a bit about the game as well.
I said on Friday in the preview of the game that I thought the game was going to be won or lost mentally, that Munster had the right headset that would put Racing away comfortably. And they went there with a very clear game plan, and they had a very good headset on them. And it was evident to me after 20 minutes, it was a matter of when they'd get the bonus point, not if. So, you know, it was that comprehensive. So mentally, Munster are in a very, very good place. But I do think it's a completely different kettle of fish next weekend. Glasgow are kind of waiting in the long grass for Munster. You know, they got a taunt in Munster. You know, they just got blown away that day. They're certainly, that's going to put a lot of juice in them for this week. And they know if they lose to Munster, the pool is over. That's it, because Munster are going to butcher Racing the week after. Mm. And I think Warriors know that they need to beat Munster, and then they need to go to Leicester. And Leicester's going to be a real dog fight for them, because Leicester are out of the pool, but Leicester are playing, you know, for pride. They will play for pride. Racing didn't play for pride. They just, you know, they showed up in the first 10 minutes like we expected they would, and they put a few big hits in, but once Munster got across the line, they just capitulated. So it's a pity, because it's the old nugget we go through with this tournament, particularly the French clubs, who don't usually capitulate at home. It's usually away from home, but it does skew the pool, and Racing were out of it. Even with the team they picked, they've skewed the pool last weekend, and they'll probably come to Thomond Park with the under-16s or something. You know, I mean, it skews that pool completely. So Glasgow know that the only way really home for them now is to beat Munster on the weekend and then go to the Tigers and get a result. So mentally, they're going to be in a very strong place. Now, Munster too. So I think it's probably the game of the weekend, actually, in many ways. You know, it's really going to be a stonking game, because I think Munster are in a place at the moment. They're very comfortable with their strategy.
Is it a very simple strategy, Eddie? Is that
it? Well, I was just going to say it's based on physical domination. There's no question about it. Like it's a very dominant style of rugby, and I've been saying this for a few weeks. When they get that sort of dominance over you, they will take you to the woodshed. But we saw in Leicester, when Leicester pitched up, having, you know, ran out the gate in Thomond Park the week before, actually fronted up physically the following week, it was just a different ball game. So what worries me about Munster is I think Glasgow are much more likely to pick you apart. They are more strategic in their approach. Munster are very much in your face at the moment, and it's working for them. You know, I'm not criticising the way they play, but I just think that if they don't dominate Glasgow Warriors on the next weekend physically, and that's easier said than done, they could be in a bit of bother. That's the problem for them.
Mm. Gav, tossing that?
Yeah, definitely. What we are actually going to see is to watch a game of rugby this weekend. I watched Montpellier against Bordeaux, just hoping to see Ian Madigan come on. He's still coming back from injury, but also because Montpellier are in the RDS on Friday, and there is going to be a game of rugby on Friday night. Leinster Montpellier is going to be a cracker. That's the Montpellier are the pack of forwards that we were expecting Racing to be this season, but they're not. Racing are way off down. They're going to struggle to get into the playoffs, even in top 14. Montpellier are third. Like, if you go through their pack and everything that's coming at them, sorry for switching tack there, but like, it's like definitely Glasgow Munster is a massive game this weekend. But I think Montpellier Leinster is the one where, like, Montpellier, this is their last chance to get out of the pool. Otherwise, if they don't do this, if they don't pull out a big victory here, they're going to go for it. I was looking at their team. It's like, it's an all Georgian front row. It's an all South African second row. There's like two French in the team. It's littered with quality.
Yeah.
But they've got a common purpose. And I was down in Montpellier when they put it to Leinster that day, and Issa Nasiwa just dragged Leinster to a bonus point. So there's a massive game there.
Yeah. And on the Glasgow physicality Munster game plan,
no, like Munster can win it, because Munster can do it, keep doing what they're doing. Mm. Eddie's definitely right. The Glasgow are a smarter team, cleverer team, and if everything goes to plan, a couple of weeks ago we definitely would have said Glasgow are going to win this game and Munster are in trouble. But Munster can keep doing what they're doing against Glasgow and get out of there with a win, I think.
Yeah.
And then, as Eddie said, definitely you're going to get a bonus point in racing, because O'Gara even pretty much admitted that he doesn't know what's going to come up there with them.
Yeah.
And then, so there's a home for the first time since 2014. There's definitely going to be two, maybe, and there's outside chance of three teams in the getting Champions League quarterfinals.
Curious for your thoughts on Tyler Blindell, Eddie, in what feels like his debut season, really, in so many ways, because Andrew Dunn was in here in studio yesterday, who obviously knows the out-half position, and he was saying, there's a lot of good things in Blindell's game, and one thing which struck him, and it was something Alan Gaffney passed on to him, he used to always just take the ball in the same position, 45 degree angle off the scrum half, and he's watching Tyler Blindell for Munster and he's mixing it up beautifully. He's taking it deep, he's taking it right on the line. Very intelligent player, it seems.
Oh yeah, I think in terms of moving the ball, he's as good as his around in terms of understanding that depth. He needs to take the ball in terms of what he's on the crack himself, and he's more than capable of doing it, and he does it every so often. Even sometimes when he's probably not going to get through, but just keeps the defence honest, and they just can't take their eye off him.
Mm.
Because you do, he will skin you. And that buys space on the outside corners. Plus the fact that when he does decide to let go, he's got brilliant hands. I mean, his pass for the try the week before, I think it was to
Was it Conway?
It was Conway. Yeah, it was sublime. It was just sublime pass. Like, it was just top drawer. So he's got phenomenal hands, and he understands the key of a fly half attack in terms of when to go to the line, when to step off the line, and that depth. And that's crucial to Munster, because he is pulling the strings. Now, his kicking game is out of his hands, is mediocre. It's not working, but his Achilles heel is his place kicking. So if it's a tight game and it comes down to who's the best place kicker, then Munster could be in trouble, because it ultimately, and if you want to rehash it, his place kicking cost him the game over against Leicester at Welford Road.
Mm.
He missed a couple of very kickables that would have got them across the line, and they'd been a different place altogether now. So I think the guy is definitely, in terms of attack, he's definitely the real deal, no question about it. He's just a fantastic footballer. And I've always liked that about him. He reminds me a lot of Matt Gitto's style of being able to go to the line, fix players, release guys around him with long and short passes really accurately. And that's gold dust in terms of an attacking fly half. So I do rate the guy very highly in that department. But I just worry that, that they are dependent on to knock the ball through the sticks. And I think his inconsistency there is an Achilles heel going forward. Because when you get towards the business end of the season, like, you're not going to get too many tries. There's not too many gimmies. Really, a lot of the games are going to be swung on off the ground, And that worries me.
Eddie's right there. He was Dan Carter's understudy. He was the under-20s New Zealand guy. He was the next guy in line in Canterbury Crusaders. And he had a bit of a disaster with place kicking in early part of a season a couple of years ago. And they turned in, Tom Taylor, the 12, became the 10 all of a sudden.
Nice.
It was ruthless. And that's how Munster got him.
Okay.
Because he went back down. He wasn't playing Super Rugby. He was back in playing Canterbury instead of the Crusaders. And there was an opportunity there. And he went, okay, this route to the All Blacks, crude. And Barrett passed him out. Was a year but younger. Or was his fullback at under-20s, all this. And all of a sudden he went, did a CJ stander on it, and he went, I can actually progress my career in Ireland.
Right, okay. And one point, I want to play the Rog interview, but one other point, Gav, is, the Racing backline was okay at the weekend. It was him off, and there were good guys there.
Were they,
But they were just, they didn't get a chance to play. They were destroyed up front.
Yeah.
The Munster scrum has been excellent. We talked about the work
Jerry
Flannery has done.
That was so impressive.
So that Munster scrum versus the Glasgow scrum is going to be crucial on Saturday. How do they pair up, match up, do we know?
Munster scrum should be able to take them, definitely.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there's plenty there. But as soon as Racing didn't pick Machinot and Carter, you just knew they were taking a knee,
That point on the Munster scrum against Glasgow, Eddie, before we hear from Rog?
Yeah, I think the other thing about the Glasgow game is on an artificial turf, and the scrummaging on the artificial turf, it's actually different, because very, very few scrums go down because nobody slips on the artificial turf. It's blatantly obvious. He props can't take the scrum down like to get an out. So it's the most powerful scrum usually wins the battle on the artificial turf. Like, there's no escape on it. I think, if Munster's keep continuing scrummaging the way they are, it's a pressure point for Glasgow. There's no doubt about that. It could be important. Again, depends on the number of scrums in a game or where you get them. But, you know, again, if there's penalties at the scrum and it's down to Blendahl then to knock them through, that could be your Achilles heel.
I think that'll tell Daddy later on in the season, definitely, when it comes down to playoffs and quarterfinals in Europe and Pro 12. I think that's when Blendahl will really find out. And he might come up short.
He kicks a lot of them from the sideline. He kicks a lot of difficult ones.
He's had some great kicking days.
Yeah.
Like the one against Glasgow, he was flawless.
Yeah.
And he was good against Leinster, I think. So there is good ones.
He's just prone to those days.
He's like any young at half. They're sometimes Paddy Jackson.
I think, I've talked about this before, I think his technique is slightly flawed in that he's somewhere between a shunter and someone who draws the ball. And I stand to that. I watch his technique over and over again, you know. And he's sometimes in between. When he stays in a shunt, he's much more accurate, but sometimes he starts to try and draw a little bit. And the other thing I remember as well, if you're talking about the mental side of the game, the kicks out on the touchline are less pressured than the ones 40 out to the right, where everyone in the stadium expects you to knock it through. No one's going to shake their head in disappointment if you miss one from the touchline. You know, so there's less pressure on those. The more kickable the kick is, the more pressure comes with it.
He could do it a bit of Raj, couldn't he? Because there's no one really in Munster to get hold of him, and maybe they can farm him out. Dave Allred or maybe Richie Murphy can come down from.
Well, Allred's definitely a shunter.
Is he?
He's a 100% shunter. Gav, interestingly, texted me after our last discussion, Eddie, to tell me he was a shunter, but I've yet to to see the evidence. So, O'Gara, really interesting. As we said, before the game...
I was a choker.
A choking shunter. Raj talked pre-game to Sky about this being about pride for Racing, and his face, if you didn't see the interview, was, as you can imagine, Ronan O'Gara's face was when he was speaking to Graeme Simmons.
You get out of it what you put into it, I think, and our preparation, obviously looking with hindsight, wasn't good enough, and we're lacking detail in our game, we're probably not fit enough, and they were better than us in every aspect of the game, so within a quarter of an hour it was pretty clear which team was going to win.
How disappointing is that from your point of view?
Yeah, it's hugely disappointing because... it asked an awful lot of questions, and to know that you're that far off the pitch is deeply disappointing and hurtful. But just talking to the Munster guys in there, you look where they were maybe 12, 14 games ago. So in sport it can be turned around very quickly, and we were in the final of both competitions last year, winning one, so with similar enough squads, so we're not at the pace of the game or nowhere near it at the minute, but thankfully things can hopefully change.
Do you sense there's a hangover from last season, Rog? And if so, why?
There most definitely is, but there's no point kind of referencing that all the time. We need to make a plan going forward, and that probably started last week to have a good game this week. It wasn't a good game today. It'll start on Monday for another game against Leicester. But I think we're probably missing elements in terms of, I would think, subtle detail in our game. We got probably schooled up front today. And, you could say we got schooled in the kicking game as well. And... maybe there's interesting aspects in terms of recruitment as well, because you look at the key performers for Munster were probably all in the age of 26 to 29, maybe, between Murray, Blyendahl, Scannell, Earls, Saili, Zeebs, Peter Romani, CJ. Niall Scannell was immense, Donnacha Ryan was immense. They're a fit team, they're a good team, and they have great standards.
As much as you are a racing man now, your old mate would have loved that performance today from his team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, of course he would. I think he'd be very proud of what has happened, and it's so strange to think about him in the past tense, and I don't think I can have my head around that. I don't. Yeah, it's very, very odd, I suppose, where we are, but it doesn't change anything in terms of what Munster are. Munster are and have been a great outfit. They lost their way for a while, but you know, I suppose the scary thing from our point of view is that we have to go to Thomond Park. That could be, on today's performance, beyond embarrassing.
From a personal point of view, how much are you looking forward to going back to Thomond Park?
Well, after that, not at all, because that's a kind of...
It's a chance to atone, Ron.
Yeah, of course, yeah, but... yeah, I, in terms of a chance to atone, yeah, it'll be, you start at zero again, I suppose. That's exactly it, but it's great if the right lessons are learned. If lessons are brushed under the carpet, then nothing is learned from today. So I hope we take the lessons on board and become a better side.
Yeah, slightly haunted there, but brilliantly honest as ever.
Yeah.
Great for us. You listen to him talking, and it's what he really thinks.
I never want to never change.
Like, no, never change.
And even really, he's done it. He just doesn't do it when he goes on camera. He'll do it if he turns up for radio. He does it if he does a print interview.
Yeah,
Raj is Raj, especially post game. You know, it's always quality. But it is nearly too honest for his own good. There, you
well,
know?
Maybe. I would say there, instead of being livid and angry, he's actually just. That sounds like a guy who's
very deflated.
He has given up on this project.
Yeah, but he kind of did last week as well. Again, his honesty in interviews last week. I think it was Jerry interviewed him for Saturday. I think that might have been the piece where he goes, all we're focused on is Leon, which is the game, the top 14 game to get their season back up and running in 3 weeks' time,
right.
Which is a white flag, whether you like it or not. And also he talked about the whole aspect of racing. They've got hundreds of fans in comparison to thousands of, like, this is a club that really needs to be motoring along on their home matches. And the Glasgow, as I said, Glasgow knocked them off the rails, and Munster are just finishing him off.
Because it's interesting,
tough days for him, because he had a great season last season.
I was going to say, Eddie, you presumed on the back of last season top 14 champions they'd cracked it, they'd sorted out the culture, Dan Carter had come in and it seemed to all work, and
they just bought it, did they?
Or maybe they just bought it, but there's something rotten there, it seems, or is that going too far?
Well, I think the French teams do find it very difficult to deliver consistency. Like, not many of them do this. If you look the year before, Stade Francais were at the bell of the ball,
yeah.
They fell off the cliff the following year. They tend to They're very emotional about rugby. It's just a fact of life, and we've thought, like, they've never been any different. And they are grappling with, you know, trying to drive the emotion out of the professional game, but it's far from gone. And you see it in their away performances at times, and you see it when they decide that, like, they've obviously decided that there's nothing for them in this tournament, and they're just backing out of it now. And I know Raj. Like, Roger's probably going to be more upset than anyone going to Thomond Park, because if they lose in Thomond Park, their supporters go, sure, we lost at home, there's nothing in it, don't worry about it, there's none of these things happening. But the following week, when we get back on the horse in the top 14, then all the chips are back on the table. And Roger knows that could be, like, they could butcher in Thomond Park, but they won't lose any sleep about that, because it's all about the top 14. Now,
is embarrassment not an emotion?
They don't get embarrassed about losing away from home.
They don't seem to, you're right, yeah.
No, it just happens. That stuff happens, you know. And they do stay in games until they know it's not going to be won. And then when they bail, they bail big time, you know.
They don't seem to care, though, really, do they?
No, they don't. They pack their tent and they leave, and that's it. And we've seen them do this. Like, I'm not shocked. No, that is total anathema to Rog. That mentality is a total anathema. Because Rog would claw your eyes out to lose by 1 point less, you know.
Mm.
And that's what made him the guy he was. So you can see emotionally he's struggling with that.
Yeah.
But he's not going to change his French rugby, you know. And I can't imagine it'll change him either. But, like, he is in that place, which is, it's gut-wrenching if you're in that place. Like, and you I know. But having said that, their season in general hasn't been great. Like, they're just above 50% in the season. They're around eighth in the table. They haven't put a string of results together, and they are floundering a bit. And, like, if they have a bad run in the top 14 now, then it could get very ugly. But they have no interest in Europe. They said they did at the start. Now they know it's for nothing, and they're trying to make a season out of it in the top 14. And I think that's not, like, what you got from there is Rog speaking from the heart, as he does. Based on the fact that he would have fought like hell. It didn't matter if we were playing Munster last weekend. I mean, to be fair to him, I mean, it was extra tough, just Munster. But he would have fought like hell no matter who they were playing, because it's about competing every week, every week, every week.
Yeah.
But the French don't think like that. It's not their mentality, you know. And you see it throughout the league. I mean, very few teams in France deliver week in, week out, week in, week out. Probably Clermont Auvergne are the most consistent team in France. But, by the way, they've won very little at the end of the season.
Mm. Yeah. Penny for the thoughts of the over-30s in that dressing room listening to Rog say the best Munster players were in their 20s. We're going to have to think about our recruitment.
I'd say they're liking all their cash, though, that they're making at the end of the month.
I was going to ask you guys about the new rules' impact on tackling. I don't have time to do that this week, but we'll have a bigger sample size next week, so we'll see. Just a final point then. Johnny Sexton obviously played in Leinster's 70-6 win over Zurich.
55 minutes, himself and Luke McGrath looking really sharp together.
Look good. Is he running differently, Sexton? He's been working on his mechanics.
I don't know. He looks a bit more upright.
I think that game wasn't a great game for Leinster. I mean, Catty Barry could have looked good against that.
Yeah, he got hit game, once. You know? There was a big South African blindside hit him one massive hit. It was actually a Sean O'Brien hospital pass.
But it would have been better for Leinster had they got a decent game.
Definitely.
Actually. I mean, those type of facile things are absolutely, because the biggest challenge for Leon is to get guys back into reality.
Mm.
Because no matter what you say to players, winning by that many points, they start to believe stuff that's never going to happen the following week. It's very hard, even with professional players. And if they'd got a good old rumble with somebody, I know you want to win it, but that was useful as a trap door in a canoe, because they're never going to get anything out of it. I mean, it's going to give them ideas, and they don't know if everything was good. I mean, they don't have their line-up fired well, they don't have their scrum fired well. It did fire well, but against what? I think that's a difficult... The problem for Leinster now is bringing accuracy and intensity on the back of a game where they weren't tested at all. That's a challenge for the coaching staff this week.
And what's coming is Montpellier, which, as I said earlier, it's the Georgian front row. I was looking at their pack. They just switched on against Bordeaux and blew them out of it. Same way they did.
It's going to be hell on wheels, you know. And
hell on wheels being Nadolo, yeah.
Yeah. Eddie, I'm a fan of your communication at the best of times, but trapdoor in a canoe is right up there for me of all the
all ones are the best.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, we'll talk next Monday. Thanks very much, Gavin Cumiskey of the Irish Times, Eddie O'Sullivan on the line. We're back in a moment.
Off the ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/offtheball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.